Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from Matthew 21, John came to you in the way of righteousness. You did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even when you saw it afterwards, you did not change your minds and believe him. Dear friends of Christ, last week we found ourselves in a vineyard. This week we find ourselves in a vineyard again. This week we're dealing with two brothers. Now, the two brothers, like any family where two siblings are born from the same mama, the boys come out different. And that's the way it is with these boys. Raised the same, similar genetics, and yet completely different boys. That's kind of the way it is in the kingdom of God as well. We are the same children of God, and yet you look out among the congregation and there's all kinds of different children of God out there. And the one boy, he would say, I'm going to do things my way. And of course, the other boy says, no, really deep down, I want to do things God's way. Well, children from the same parents, they can grow up to be leaders or followers. You can have one that's brash and bold and one who's shy, rule keepers and rule breakers, those who are faithful in the ways of God, those who are faithless in the ways of God, from the same parents. You've got silly kids, you've got solemn kids, proud kids, humble kids. It's a sibling surprise, whatever comes out like a box of chocolates. Well, in our parable today, the father gave his two sons the exact same command, go work in the vineyard. Time to sweat a little bit, have some sweat equity in the family, which is, of course, the vineyard's the church. I want you to go out, go work. And son number one, who represents us, the repentant believers who changed their hearts, he said, nope, don't think so, don't want to go. Now we get this in the church a lot. LWML Sunday, and we need a leader. Nope, somebody else can do that, thank you very much. And yet we think about it, we pray about it, and eventually God raises up a leader who says, oh, I didn't want to have to do it, right? But I'm going to go into the vineyard. I guess if I have to do it. And then that servant who says yes goes into God's vineyard to do work, grumbling and complaining. Would you like to serve? No. No, I don't want to serve. Let somebody else do it. Go work. No, I don't want to work. Somebody else can work. And then you think about it and you pray about it. And of course, like the son in our parable, his attitude softened. He got a little shameful because he loves his father. He knows the work needs to be done. And then humbled. And we don't know how he went in the vineyard. Grumbling or complaining? Or did he enter the vineyard joyful, willing to do the work of his father? Son number two, well, he represents the unbelievers. He represents the Pharisees, the stubborn of heart who don't change. They hear the message of God and they're rebellious. They think they're holy, they think they're right, and they don't serve in the church, and they don't have any intent to serve in the church. They just want to look good. They want to act good. They want people to pat them on the back. It's all about them. And they have no good intentions. And yet this son is asked to go, and he has all kinds of pious platitudes. Son, would you go work in the vineyard today? Oh, Father, you know what a gracious father you are. Of course I will go work. I would be so glad to do the work of the vineyard today. And of course, we know what he did. You know, yes, sir, I'm on it, sir. I'll take care of that, sir. And then nothing. Absolutely nothing. Good intentions, the initial response, but he didn't go, he didn't work. So what do you think? It's a question Jesus put before the unbelievers. Who did the will of his father? Who was faithful? And so our theme. Right off the bat, we see two observations. First of all, we notice that both sons are sinful. So the whole kit and caboodle, we're not dealing with people of good intent. These boys both lied. They were both dishonest. And they don't even hide their disobedience. They don't even hide, you know, one boy simply says, no, Dad, I'm not going to go. I mean, that's kind of a shameful response. They don't have much respect for their father. They pretty much don't care about what their father thinks. They want to do what they want to do. They want to do their own thing. Of course, the Father in our vineyard is our Heavenly Father. The request of the Father isn't really ridiculous. It's just go work in the vineyard. There's work to be done. Somebody's got to do the work. And it wasn't over the top. The boys were simply asked by the Father, son, go work in the vineyard today. Now, you notice I emphasize the word son, but that's important. Son, it's a relationship. It's not like he's asking one of his employees to go work in the vineyard. It's, you should go into the vineyard because you are my child. This is your vineyard. I'm the father, I own it, but it's your inheritance. Go do the things that a family ought to do. There's family work to be done. Work for the family of God. Serve the family of God. There's a relationship, and that relationship, you are a daughter of Christ. You are a son of Christ. There is work to be done. That should be a driving force. The force that drives us to say, yes, Lord, I'm a child. Let me take care of the family. There's work to be done. And the work that needs to be done is family work that needs to be done today. Necessary work. Urgent work. And son, that should have been enough. It wasn't. The two boys disobeyed their father, despite the relationship. And I think how many times and how many ways has God commanded us? I mean, given us commandments. My son, my daughter, go work in the vineyard today. Obey my voice. Follow my way. And of course, we think of all those Ten Commandments. Put God first above all things, the way the first commandment teaches. Worship Him first. Lead your family in worship. Pray to God. Honor God with your lips throughout the day. In the things that you say and in the words that you speak, we read about that in our Old Testament lesson. Watch your tongue. Watch the words that come out of your lips. Honor me with your life, the third commandment, worshiping God and praying to God and honoring God and honoring His name and keeping it holy by your behavior. Give God a good name. You're His child. You represent who He is. So that when people see you, they say, there is a child of God. Because they're different. Obey. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't covet. Don't steal. Don't hurt people. Don't hurt people. Now, how do you respond to the commandment of our Heavenly Father? He says, watch your tongue. Don't hurt people. And sometimes we respond in various similar ways that our text responds. The one boy said, yes, sir, boy, dad, you know you're a great father. I go, and we have no intent of going. There's no intent of repenting. Yes, sir, I know what's right, and I'm not going to do it. Thank you very much. Not about to change. I'm not about to move. Not about to do anything. Never really have any intention of obeying. Sometimes we might even say, no, sir, no, thank you. Nope, nope, don't want to, nope, not obeying. But then later our heart softens. We change. We repent. God works with our sinfulness, our stubbornness. We bend. And then we end up doing the right thing. Understand this, when you became a child of your Heavenly Father, through the cleansing blood of holy baptism, God, through that relationship, adopted you in His family, and He says, you're my child now. You're my family. I am your Heavenly Father. Jesus is the Son. We are family, and there is a relationship here. And I call you son, and I call you daughter. and I love you, and I chose to adopt you, and because of that, we're family, the family of God. And I'm going to give you an inheritance that will last forever. The inheritance of my church is yours. It's in store for you. Now go. Go work in the vineyard. Go work in that inheritance. Go work among the people, my family. Equip each other, love each other, serve each other. Go into the world, serve and go. That's what the LWML does. They go, they send, they train, they teach, they equip each other to hear the Word of God with servant hearts, then to step forward and say, here I am, Lord, teach me to go. And then the LWML, through their mites and through their offerings and through their acts of service in the local congregation, they train their women to be faithful women who hear, faithful women who go. Now, are they always obedient? Do they always want to step up? If they did, we'd have a president. But to go. Go into the world. Go serve at home. Serve me first. Serve me at work. Serve me at play. Serve me in the congregation. Love God above all others. And as you go, do so by loving the people that I put around you. It's God's commands. And what's your response to all of that? Obedience? Or willful disobedience? And unfortunately, too often as the believers of Christ, we're like the first son. No, God, I really don't want to go. I really don't want to serve. I'm so tired. I'm getting gray. My strength is sapping. Got things to do. Why can't somebody else do it? And there's all kinds of excuses that we can make of not going and not wanting. No thanks, not interested. And Jesus tells us that is the attitude of the tax collectors and the Pharisees and the prostitutes. No, that's the attitude of the tax collectors and the prostitutes. They heard the message of John, repent. And when John the Baptist told them to change their lives, they said, no, thank you. I'm a tax collector. I like being a tax collector. I'm a prostitute. I like being a prostitute. I like the money I make. I like the way I make my money. No, thank you. I think I'll stay the same. And yet, John the Baptist had said, go lead sexually pure lives. Be obedient, not only in what you say, be obedient in what you do. No, thanks. Don't want to. And yet God gives us the same simple commands, 10 simple commands. Husbands, don't hurt your wives. Wives, obey your husbands. Children, listen to your parents. Obey them, honor them. Parents, don't drive your kids nuts. They're not going to listen to you if you make them angry. Yes, you have to discipline them, and they're not going to like you for the discipline. But in your discipline, be careful that you don't completely discourage them so they wander away from the Lord and rebel. Teach them to respect you. Because if your children don't respect you, they're not going to respect God. You are the authority that God put in their life. And when they learn to respect the authority of mom and dad, they're going to learn to respect the authority of our Heavenly Father. And who gives us this authority? By what right did you say these things? Who made you boss? That's what they asked Jesus. Why do you think you're in charge? That's what the kids say to parents. You're not the boss of me. You've heard that phrase before, haven't you? You're not the boss of me. I don't have to do what you say. Who gave you the authority? And of course, God gives authority to parents so that the children can learn to obey. God, our Father, has authority over us. We are His children. And He says, go serve in my vineyard. And we say, who gave you the authority? You're not the boss of me. We don't encourage rebellious hearts. the prostitutes and the tax collectors, you know what they did? They repented. Eventually they said, you know what? Our ways are wrong. And they turned, and Jesus says, the prostitutes and tax collectors are going to get into heaven before all you religious people. Because they turned. They changed. Go work in the vineyard? No, I don't think so. I don't want to. That's hard work. Let somebody else do the hard work. Okay, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And they went and did the work. God commands us to forgive. He commands us to follow. He commands us to obey. To give generous. To give of our first fruits. A percentage of our income. And how do we respond to each and every command of our Heavenly Father, sometimes with brazen disobedience? No, no, that's not going to happen. Not in my life. I heard your command. I have no intention of obeying. And yet, we see the love of our Heavenly Father through our Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes the people of God will say, like the second son, which represents the unbelievers, sure, I'll go. I'll do the work. We have no intent. We just want to look holy. We want to look right. We want to look pious. We want to sound pious. We want to look like we're doing all the right things and feel like we're doing all the right things, but then we just simply refuse to go. Who did the work of the Father? And does the Father have the authority to have the work be done? We're pretty good at doing both, I think, being both sons. The Father calls you, the Father commands you, go. And with a loving heart, then we go and we forgive. We forgive those who have wronged us because we have wronged God. We forgive those who have been disobedient to us because we've been disobedient to God. And then we love them because we've been loved by God. Go lead pure lives. Go watch your, control your lusts, control your desires. Go trust in God above all things. Go as sons and daughters, hear His command. And with one common voice and with one common body, we brazenly say, yes, sir, I go. We are the church of God. We are the people of God. And then we don't. All siblings are the same in the end. Whether you're the sweet hypocrisy, the first son, the first son who says disobediently and brazenly, no, I won't go, or the sweet hypocrisy, the second son who says, I'll go and has no intent. We fake obedience. All siblings are the same. There's no difference in the end. All have sinned. As our Old Testament lesson says, all fall short of God's glory. All are rebels and hypocrites. The soul that sins shall die. And the Father looked in our world and He sees it filled with hypocrites and liars and rebels and disobedient children. And He asked, who's going to go? Who's going to go in the vineyard? Who's going to save the lost people? Who's going to pay the price? Who's going to buy them back? Who's going to be obedient? Who's going to be faithful? Who's willing to do the dirty work to save my vineyard? One person raised his hand. One voice rose above the others. Jesus said, I can do it. The faithful son. One voice rose, the only begotten son. And what did Jesus say? I go, sir. And He did go. And He suffered. And He died. And He rose. Why? So that we might be forgiven through His blood, so that we might be adopted into the family. Why? So that sinners might be saved, the disobedient might be forgiven. And then being forgiven, the Father and the Son equips us to go, equipped to serve. Our text began with these words, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to Jesus as He was teaching. By what authority do you say these things? Who gave you the authority? Jesus has authority over sin and authority over death and authority over the devil and authority over us. Why? He's our Savior. because he came. By what authority can he order us? By what authority can he forgive sins? By what authority can he throw us into the service of his vineyard and say to his people that he is redeemed, son, daughter, child, go. Go work in the vineyard. There's important work to be done. Obedient work. And can he authority? Does he have authority over? You're not the boss of me. Do things my way. Christ's authority puts you into work in his vineyard. To work. He is the boss of me. He does have the authority. So we hear and we listen and we go and we repent and we turn and we follow and we obey. And we serve. And we love. Exactly the type of things we're doing today. God has given you faith, the power to repent of your sins, to receive his forgiveness, to follow in his ways, and to work in his vineyard. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.